All right, kids, grab your instrument there. If there's any other kids that want to come up here, grab an instrument, that would be great. We're going to do a, you guys, I'm going to need your help for the sermon today, okay? And we're going to do a little exercise here together. And I was going to comment on some of these big kids, but I better not, eh? So it, this is great. So we're doing this series on living the supernatural life of hearing God's voice. And so I've got Moot, who's our intern this summer. He hopefully had a chance to meet him already. He's going to read a sentence on the card that I've written there. And kids, I don't want you to make any noise for this first sentence, okay? So Moot, you read that sentence and I'll try and repeat it back.
The sky is blue. It is hot outside.
Okay, I think he said, the sky is blue and it is hot outside. Okay, now he's got a second sentence, and now, kids, I want you to make as much noise as you can, okay? Ready? Make as much noise, and as they're making all the noise, then Moot, you say the sentence, okay? So go ahead, kids. 3, 2, 1, go. Go ahead, make the noise, make the noise. Did you say it already? Oh, man, I didn't even hear it at all. And that's kind of how it is with hearing God's voice. Right? That sometimes there's external noise or there's internal noise that kind of distracts us from God's voice. Great job, kids. Thank you very much for participating in that. Let's give them a hand. Yeah. And Greg, I think you're right. It's a spirit of joy, eh? It's a spirit of joy when the kids are in worship like that. I just absolutely love it. And friends, sometimes there can be those external factors, or I think more often it's internal ones that prevent us from hearing that word from God. So I didn't even get to hear what Moot said at all on that second sentence. And so Ralph Wilson suggests to us a couple possible reactions that we have to this whole idea of hearing God's voice. And so let's walk through those. First reaction was, I don't want to be a fanatic. Do you ever think that with this whole idea of hearing God's voice, it's like, I don't want to become a fanatic. Because chances are you may know somebody who they kind of like just rhyme off, oh, God spoke to me and said this. And the other day I was eating breakfast and I heard this from the Lord and I was having my quiet time and God said to me this. And they just kind of go on and on with that. And you're kind of thinking, hey, I don't remember the last time I ever heard anything from the Lord, you know? And so sometimes we see people or hear people like that and we think, particularly, I know a few people that sometimes their lifestyle or the things that they say God said to them doesn't kind of pan out, like it doesn't work out, but they keep saying again and again, God said to me. And so sometimes we react against that and we go, oh, I don't want to be a fanatic like that person. I say, friends, don't let fear, don't let bad examples of other people hold you back from opening yourself and your heart to hearing God's voice. A second reaction might be, what if I don't like what I hear, right? You think, okay, yeah, I'm gonna open myself up to God. And then it's like, well, what if God says, Rick, I want you to go to South America and be a missionary there to the jungle? I'm like, I don't wanna go to the jungle. There's snakes in the jungle and I'm afraid of snakes. We think, okay, what if God gives us a word like that that we don't want? But the issue isn't snakes, right? It's not about snakes. It's about God's commands. And do we fear God's commands? And do we believe that he has the best for us? Because God's heart is good, right? He cares for you. His commands come out of his good heart. Will some of the things he calls you and I to do be difficult? Oh, you betcha, right? Sometimes we've got to take hard steps. We've got to obey what he's calling us to do. But those he calls, he will equip. And he will make sure that you will be able to follow him on the journey that he has as you listen to his voice. A third possible reaction is, the Bible is enough. Give me a verse, not a voice. Perhaps that's how some of you feel. Some people feel that hearing God's voice will somehow undermine the authority and the sufficiency of Scripture. We're going to talk about in a few minutes God speaking to people in the Bible. And as we see that, the people in the Bible were never afraid that what God would say to them would somehow undermine the rest of the Bible that they knew at that time period. So let's say the people in the New Testament, they, you know, as God guided them or spoke to them, it was never like, oh no, what if this goes against the First Testament? No, God will always speak in continuation of the Bible, not in contradiction. And I believe too many Christians in North America worship the wrong Trinity. Their Trinity is the Father, the Son, and the Holy Bible. And they've gotten rid of the Holy Spirit as a member of the triune God. God desires to speak to you. Will he speak to you through the Bible? Yes, he will, and through other means also. We shouldn't fear undermining the Bible by hearing God's voice. God will never guide you in contradiction to his Scripture. A fourth possible reaction is, I'm not sure if God is interested in me. This whole idea that, why would God bother with me? God has the whole universe to deal with. Why would he care about me? And friends, this is unbelief, isn't it? It's a misunderstanding of who God is and his heart. 1 John 4:19 says, we love because he first loved us. God loves you personally, and he wants to communicate with you personally. A final possible reaction is this: I'm not sure I'm worthy to hear from God. Do you ever feel that way? I know I sometimes do. Like, I'm not holy enough. I'm a person who continually messes up. And we think, I'm just a sinner. Why would God bother with me? Let's call it what it is, friends. It's a lie. And how do we contradict a lie? With the truth. And what is the truth? The truth is that God has been talking to sinners for thousands and thousands of years. People who are broken, people who continually mess up. And yeah, it is true in a sense that none of us are worthy in and of ourselves to hear God's voice. But God has reached down through the cross, making the way possible for a relationship with him, that he will speak to you. You don't deserve it. You can't earn it. But don't let those feelings of unworthiness hold you back from hearing his voice. So let me ask you that question. Do you struggle with any of these reactions to this idea of hearing God's voice? The idea that I don't want to be a fanatic, or what if I don't like what I hear, or the Bible is enough, or I'm not sure God's interested in me, or I'm not sure I'm worthy to hear God's voice. See, for me, probably the first one about being a fanatic, I sometimes react to people like that, or particularly this last one. I struggle a lot with shame, and that sometimes prevents me from opening myself to hear God's voice. What about you? Any of these five reactions do you have? Or there's perhaps others also. Why don't you turn to the person beside you, or families, you can talk about this. Parents, of course, go first. Or if you just want to kind of consider it on your own, what is your reaction to this idea of hearing God's voice? All right. So I say, friends, as we start, don't let fear, don't let unbelief, don't let your own feelings of not deserving or unworthiness prevent you from hearing from the Lord. God desires to speak to his people. And the same Holy Spirit that resides in me resides in the youngest kids who are playing the instruments today. And the same Holy Spirit resides in the oldest person who's watching online or in our service here today. That God speaks to his people. He continually has, and let's not use our fears to prevent that from happening. We're gonna look at a story in the Bible today of God speaking to a child in the Bible. Why don't we watch the video of the story?
Stories of the Bible. God speaks to Samuel. This is Samuel.
Hi.
Samuel was the son of Hannah.
Hey, Samuel.
Hannah prayed for God to give her a son, and God did. So Hannah gave Samuel back to God.
See you, Samuel.
Bye, Mom.
And Samuel grew up in the temple serving under Eli, the priest.
Hi, Eli.
As Samuel grew up, he learned how to serve God from Eli. Samuel lived in the house of God, but he did not know God or what God's voice sounded like. In those days, messages from God were rare. But one night after Eli had gone to bed, Samuel was sleeping in the tabernacle when suddenly God called out, "Samuel!"
Huh?
Samuel got up and ran to Eli and said, "Did you call me?"
Not me.
Eli said, "I didn't call you. Go back to bed." So Samuel did. Then God called out again, "Samuel!"
Huh?
And again, Samuel got up and ran to Eli asking, "Did you call me?"
Not me.
Eli said, "I didn't call you. Go back to bed." So Samuel did. God called Samuel for a third time, "Samuel!"
Huh?
And Samuel went to Eli yet again. After three times, Eli realized that God was trying to speak to Samuel. So Eli taught Samuel to say, "Speak, Lord, your servant is listening."
Okay.
Samuel went back to bed, and God came and called as before, "Samuel, Samuel." And Samuel said, "Speak, your servant is listening." God told him many things about what would happen to Israel. As Samuel grew up, God was with him, and everything God spoke through Samuel came true. Samuel was seen as a great prophet of God because he could hear the voice of God and he listened when God spoke to him.
All right, so there's that story of God speaking to Samuel. I invite you, if you have a Bible, to turn with me to 1 Samuel chapter 3. And let's take a look at verses in this story. Danica, why don't we stick them up on the screen? Let's read the first three verses together. Meanwhile, the boy Samuel served the Lord by assisting Eli. Now, in those days, messages from the Lord were very rare and visions were quite uncommon. One night, Eli, who was almost blind by now, had gone to bed. The lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was sleeping in the tabernacle near the ark of God. So we've got this boy Samuel. He's maybe 12 years old. Scholars guesstimate at this time. It's almost like he's a young intern in the church working under this older priest, Eli, a priest in whom God is disappointed. And you can read in the chapter before, 1 Samuel chapter 2, part of the rationale of that in some way Eli did not train his boys as he ought to have trained them. And they were doing some things desecrating the temple, which God was quite disappointed in. His sons would have been like probably early 20s at this point. And so we've got this young boy Samuel. He's lying down in the tabernacle, kind of near the ark. Would you think, why did they allow him in there? Well, I don't know, kids get certain privileges, I guess. I'm not sure. And then the priest would sleep in the priest quarters. Now, before they went to bed, one of the priests would light the menorah, the candles, the seven candles, and they'd put enough oil in there to kind of last through the night. And I read there that the candles had not yet gone out. The light was still, so it's probably early morning at this point. And then we read, suddenly the Lord called out, "Samuel, Samuel." "Yes," Samuel replied, "what is it?" He jumped up and ran to Eli, "Here I am, what do you need?" "I didn't call you," Eli replied, "go on back to bed." So he did. Now we don't know, the author doesn't give us many details there, right? Like, how does God call Samuel? Like, you know, was it an audible voice like in that cartoon there, you know, or was it a vision, or how did, you know, and what did God sound like? We don't know a lot of the details that he doesn't give us. All we know is this young boy who's perhaps 12 years old, that God is calling him. He, of course, doesn't recognize it. He thinks it's Eli, the elderly priest, who sends him back to bed. He grabs his stuffy and pillow, lays back down to sleep. Then it happens a second time, verse 6. Then the Lord called out again, Samuel. Again, Samuel jumped up, ran to Eli. Here I am, he said. What do you need? I didn't call you, my son, Eli said. Go on back to bed. Samuel did not yet know the Lord because he had never heard a message from the Lord before. Very interesting expression there, that the word, the NIV says, the word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. The young Samuel didn't know God, didn't know about hearing God's voice, but very quickly in this story, he's going to be able to attune himself to hear God's voice. So I say, never discount yourself, friends, from hearing God's voice. No matter how old you are, how young you are, no matter what you've done in your life or where you've been, that God wants to speak to you. He can speak to an old priest like Eli, can speak to a young boy like Samuel. The story continues on verse 8. So now the Lord called a third time. Once more, Samuel jumped up and ran to Eli. Here I am, he said. What do you need? Then Eli realized it was the Lord who was calling Samuel. So he said to Samuel, go and lie down again. If someone calls again, say, yes, Lord, your servant is listening. So Samuel went back to bed. Eli's cluing in. Ah, he's not hearing voices in his head. It's not one of the other priests. It's indeed God who is speaking to this young boy. And he tells him that simple line there. Why don't we stick it up on the screen there, Danica? To respond in this way, speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. That Eli, the old priest, is showing young Samuel to get himself ready to hear from God. He needs to have this posture of humility, of openness, of willingness. And then, of course, the third time the voice comes, and then Samuel says those words, speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. And then God gives Sammy a word, and it's a difficult word. Sometimes a word from the Lord is not sunshine and rainbows in a sense. Sometimes it can be difficult, as it was for Samuel here in this story. In fact, he doesn't actually want to share with Eli what God spoke to him, because it is such a difficult word, but eventually he has the courage to do that. The important thing in our text, I think, that the author wants us to see is to have this posture of listening to God, to have an openness and a responsiveness, a readiness. And as I was sitting in this text on Monday morning and just kind of reading it and rereading it and reflecting on it, and I thought of that line, speak, Lord, for your servant is listening, that posture that we have from young Samuel. And I thought how different that is, in a sense, to the posture that I often have. And why don't we put that up on the screen as the second line there. Listen, Lord, your servant is speaking. As I was thinking about, often when I go for a prayer walk or I'm praying at the end of the day, you know, I can be saying to God, hey, God, I need this. Oh, God, I'm stressed out about that. Or God, help such and such a person. Or God, heal such and such a person. Or God, help find such and such a person a place to live. And God, work out these circumstances. And God, do this. And God, that. And, you know, it's kind of like I'm saying, listen, Lord, your servant is speaking. As opposed to speak, Lord, your servant is listening, to have that readiness and response. Now, don't misunderstand me. Of course, God wants to hear our cares. You know, the Bible says, cast all your anxiety upon him because he cares for you. We ought to be bringing our concerns to the Lord, but that it's this two-way relationship. And we got one mouth and two ears, and let's have our ears and our heart attentive to hear from God. Well, two takeaways. And kids, have you started on the puzzle yet? Lou said that we're going to give away some prizes later, so I'll have some prizes for you at the door. So make sure you fill that out, show it to me afterwards, and we'll get you those prizes. The first takeaway is to be open to God's word for you in all areas. To be open to God's word for you. Now, when I say that phrase, God's word, or as it appears in our text today, the word of the Lord, what do you think of? God's word. The majority of Christians, when they hear that expression, God's word, they immediately think of the Bible. How many of you think of the Bible when you hear that phrase, God's word? Yeah, most Christians think of it that way. Can I mess with you for a second? The Bible never calls itself God's word. But interestingly, we call it God's word. Now, the Bible was canonized in 367 AD. What was God's word before then, before this book came to be? Has God not continually spoken to people throughout time? Am I saying that the Bible is not God's word? No, I'm not saying that at all. I believe the Bible is the word of God, but that God speaks through all means and that he's spoken before this book was canonized. We call this the doctrine of revelation. Everybody say that word revelation with me. Revelation. Now, I'm not talking about the last book in the Bible, the book of Revelation, but rather God revealing himself to people, as he did in our story today, him revealing himself and speaking to this young boy, Samuel. Now, there's two types of revelation. There's a general revelation and then a specific revelation. That in general revelation, God is revealing himself. And let me suggest three ways of general revelation. The first is creation. Everybody say that word, creation. Creation, that this nature is God's divine speech. It's a non-verbal way that God shows himself, that the wonders of creation declare that there is a creator. The heavens declare the glory of the Lord, the psalmist said. Nature points to a supernatural God. And our response ought to be one of awe. Has anybody been following along with those with the Webb telescope and some of the images that have been released? How many have been following around? I don't know what that does for you, but seeing some of those images just causes me to be in awe of our Creator. Why don't we stick one up on the screen there, Danica? This would be one example. These are previously unreleased photos or insights into our universe. And I don't know what that does for you, but I look at an image like that and some of the other images from the Webb telescope, and I'm just in awe and amazement and wonder of our Creator. NASA estimates that's 17 billion years ago. Is that when God created? We don't know. But like I said, creation causes me to be in awe of the Creator. A second way of general revelation is through our conscience. Everybody say that word, conscience. Conscience. That God has revealed himself through objective moral values. That everybody on planet Earth, in their heart, knows that certain things are right and certain things are wrong. That we know it's wrong to lie, to steal, to kill, to destroy, to murder, etc. Now, we don't always act according to our conscience, but we do have that conscience within us, as Romans 2:15 says, they demonstrate that God's law is written in their hearts. That our conscience points us to a Creator who's written these laws on our hearts. That God can give us a word through our conscience. It could be a word of affirmation. It could be a word of challenge, a word of conviction, whatever that word may be. And then there's a third source of general revelation, and that's common grace. That God shows his love and his mercy to every person, Christian, non-Christian, whoever they are, on planet Earth, through his common grace. Jesus talks about this in the Sermon on the Mount when he says that God causes the sun to rise on the good and on the evil. He causes the rain to fall on the righteous and the unrighteous. And so Pastor Jenna there, holding her baby son. Any baby born into our world. That's God's common grace. The food that you have had for breakfast or will have for lunch, that's God's common grace. Circumstances working out in your life. God showing his goodness to you. Advances that we have in our society, be it in technology or be it in healthcare. The fact that our cities can develop. These are all examples of God's common grace so our world can flourish. That's part of God's general revelation. But general revelation in and of itself is not enough. Creation, conscience, common grace, they're all good. They point us to God, but in and of themselves, we can't know God. And that's why we need special revelation. That's God's story in the Bible. God revealing himself, and with the climax, the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ on the cross. That's the ultimate revelation. The ultimate revelation of the Word of God is Jesus. So the second takeaway, kids, you can fill it out in your puzzle there. It's the relationship with Jesus, not God's voice, that we seek first. Friends, if you want guidance, simply get close to the guide. See, it's easy to talk about this subject of living the supernatural life, of hearing God's voice, and it can almost become like a novelty, right? Something we approach with pride, or like a badge of spirituality that, oh, I heard God say to me, which doesn't really impress God that much when we tell someone else. Our goal is not so much to hear God as to know God. And out of knowing God, out of walking with God, that's when we hear his voice. If you want guidance, get close to the guide. And the Bible points us to Jesus all through the scriptures. And I would encourage you, when you open the Bible, look and listen for Jesus. So right now, I'm reading through 2 Kings and the book of Isaiah. I do that at night, and in the morning, I read a psalm. Those books were all written way before Jesus. They never mentioned the name of Jesus. And yet I looked for Jesus as I read. So last night, reading Isaiah 59, Isaiah 60, I'm looking and listening for Jesus. And I hear about a new Jerusalem where there will be no more violence and peace will flourish. And Jesus will be that light and there will be absolutely no darkness. And I'm in awe and wonder and worship of Jesus as I'm reading that in Isaiah 60 last night. See, sometimes we can look at the Bible and we can think, oh, I need to learn more information. Yes, there are facts to learn, but it was written not so much for information as opposed to your transformation. And so I say, look and listen for Jesus throughout the Bible. I believe in the Word of God, and his name is Jesus. And the Bible points us to Jesus, who is the perfect Word of God. Did you catch, as we read the scripture today, the recurring phrase that was said again and again? Let me read a few of the verses. Listen for it. He jumped up and ran to Eli. Here I am. What do you need? Then the Lord called out again, Samuel. Again, Samuel jumped up and ran to Eli. Here I am. What do you need? So now the Lord called a third time. Once more, Samuel jumped up and ran to Eli. Here I am, he said. What do you need? But Eli called out to him, Samuel, my son, here I am, Samuel replied. What are the three recurring words? Here I am. And friends, can that be your posture, my posture, today, this week? A readiness, an openness. And don't let any of those excuses or reactions that I talked about at the start, Don't let any of the noise, the distractions, whether external or internal within your headspace, don't let any of those fears or feelings of unworthiness or shame or anything else prevent you from having that posture of Samuel. Here I am. And like him, being ready, being willing, and respond as Eli told Samuel, "Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening." Why don't you stand with me now? Those of you who are watching at home, why don't you stand wherever you are, and let's just take a few moments to have that openness, that receptiveness, to just take our minds and clear them from those distractions or those fears or any of the sentiments we may have. And why don't you just quietly say, "Here I am." Perhaps you want to open your palms with that posture of readiness, of openness, of responsiveness that God is looking for. He's more willing to speak to you than you and I are willing to listen. So let's open our hearts and our minds. Speak now, Lord, I pray, to us, your children. O living Lord Jesus, you are here in this place. You've brought us, you have us watching at this very moment. And you know each of us. You know where we're looking for guidance. You know the things that are distracting us, the idols that we need to repent of to be able to respond to you, the living Lord who loves us, who opened the way for relationship with us. And so we open our hearts, our minds, our journeys to follow you individually and collectively as a church. Speak, Lord. Your servants are listening. Amen.